Hello and welcome to another episode of Boss Barrel Radio for this week of June 25th, 2012. My name is Griffin Hoffman, your host, and with me this week, as always, is John Stanhope.
Yo.
And Matt Lake.
Hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Griff, that's like the most ecstatic intro you've had in like a month.
Thank you. So this week on Boss Barrel Radio, we're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. Video games we've been playing, the usual, then we'll move into some news and follow up with some trivia this week.
Can we talk about how Matt has Meowth on his socks?
What?
His Puma. What kitten, do you expect?
Oh. Kittens on his feet.
Oh, man. Yeah, Meowth on his socks. That'd be awesome.
Right? I'm sorry.
That's more of a Persian, though.
A per ugly.
That is a later one, wasn't it?
Stretching it. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, not the Pokemon. No. Oh, so, guys, how you doing? What's been going on? John, what have you been up to lately?
Watching more Star Trek Next Generations.
Season 2?
Season 2. I was about to watch episode...
So that's Riker's got a beard now, right?
Yeah, he does. Beard. Okay. Beard acquired.
Number 2.
Uh-huh. And then we lost... Well, Worf is now the chief security officer.
Uh-huh.
We lost... Troy.
Deanna Troi?
Deanna Troi. We lost her.
Yeah, she sucked.
In that sweet episode.
Is Whoopi Goldberg on it yet?
Whoopi Goldberg is now in it.
Yes.
I've seen her 3 times.
That's great.
So much Whoopi.
Woo.
This last episode I watched...
Sister Act a few days. Whoopi, or no. The,
did you?
No, sorry. I watched The Amazing Race.
Oh, that's also good. What's
No.
The,
no.
What's the one where she's like a computer? Like, there's a computer.
Oh.
His name is
Jumpin' Jack Flash?
No. Yes.
I think that's the name of the movie.
I think
there's a computer and she's talking to somebody.
Yeah. But
that
no,
was 80s Whoopi, right?
Yeah, 80s Whoopi. Like, just, I think that was before Sister Act.
Oh, yeah. Definitely okay. Was.
But this last episode, she was trying to teach Data what was funny. Like, what comedy is. And this has been, like, an ongoing problem that Data has. But, I don't know. I think the guy that plays Data is probably the best actor in that whole show.
You know what? When I was in New York, I went to a theatrical thingy of... I saw 1776 on Broadway.
Wow.
The musical. And the actor who plays Data in the Star Trek Next Generation played Thomas Jefferson.
What?
So it was just like... It was like being in the holodeck, but in real life.
Messed up.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Mr. Feeney was not playing John Adams, which was probably the biggest bummer.
I'm constantly amused with 2 things that go on in Star Trek Next Generation. How much I see the influences that show have had on certain video games, like particularly Mass Effect.
Uh-huh.
And then how many strange divergences that movie goes into. Nothing to do about exploring space.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of episodes that have nothing at all to do with that.
Yeah.
Like the last episode I watched, like the last 2 episodes I watched, nothing to do with space.
I'll need to dig up the actual Twitter name for it, but it's like, it's along the lines of Lost Star Trek Generation episodes. So it's sort of like a random word generation.
Oh, okay.
Where it'll take a character's name. It's like, you know, Data pursues a knowledge of sarcasm by traveling back into 1700s France and teaming up with, and pretending to be Sherlock Holmes. And it's just like these random generated story bits for what would be an episode of Next Generation.
Oddly enough, that is what the last episode I watched besides the Data learning humor one was.
Yeah.
The doctor, the new doctor, and Geordi trying to see if Data is actually capable of actually using deductive reasoning as opposed to just knowing his shit about Sherlock Holmes.
Mm.
And they came to the conclusion that he can use deductive reasoning. It just was hard for them to pinpoint because he would keep going into these simulations where the computer would spit out all of this Sherlock Holmes related jargon and he would just pool what he knew of Sherlock Holmes and make the best assumptions based on his knowledge of those things. So.
Huh. Matt, were you not a Star Trek guy?
Nah.
Well, see, I wasn't like, I was sort of, I'd seen Star Trek, but never like really like followed it progressively. So like, I'd always catch bits and bots in here and there. And so now that I'm watching it in like chronological order, it's not bad.
I've seen all the movies.
Oh, really?
It's not bad. There's a, considering
so this thing that everybody liked for years and has influenced
I just assumed like Star Wars that it was just garbage and people were
Star Wars
crazy.
Isn't garbage.
Star Wars is, dude, really? You want to talk about episode one?
Well, okay. That fake Star Wars is garbage.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Real Star Wars is
good. I don't know. I've never been like sure I've seen all the Star Wars. I've seen all of them. All nine of them.
What?
Because they remade the like 4, 5, and 6, so I consider that those are completely different versions of those films. Those are reimaginings. What if Jabba the Hutt was actually there? And Han Solo had to make this weird step over him.
Who shot first?
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. We'll just mix these things around. But I don't know. I just, sure, those are good stories, but I don't, they never really caught me. For whatever reason, Star Trek got me. Got me by the gills.
That's good. That's a great show.
Speaking of great shows, I was going to watch another episode before I came over here, but I realized that, those are hour-long episodes, and time would not allow for that. So, in lieu of time, I decided to just...
You watched the episode In Lieu of Time?
No. That would be good. I hope there's an episode called In Lieu of Time. I bet there is. Still got like 80 episodes to go through, so I have a good chance. But I watched the season 1, episode 1 of Beast Wars Transformers.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So good.
No, it's not.
It's so good. It's just as bad as I remember it.
Yeah.
Dude, did you...
That stupid rat has a wheel on it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
When it's rat, it has a wheel.
Only in a certain form.
That's ridiculous.
Hang on. Are you aware that they're not called Decepticons and Autobots?
Oh, give me a second. What are they called?
Yeah, because I just had this epiphany, too. I was like, oh my god, I forgot about that. They're, like... There's so many shades removed from Transformers that it's almost like copyright infringement. It's like
what were they called? Primazords?
No, oh, you're close though.
And Dinotrons?
It's Predacons.
Oh yeah, Predacons.
And Maximals.
Ugh.
It's so good.
No, it's not. That's awful.
And Optimus and Megatron are the only two that like that's the only canon in that entire movie. That and there's Energon that they're going after.
There's some other characters too that show up later on in the show, right? Like
sort of
Jetstream is a shark.
I don't remember Jetstream. I remember who's the guy that's supposed to be the spaceship?
Astro Train.
No, not Astro Train.
What? I don't know. Galvatron?
I would really love if Jazz
Unicron.
I would love if Jazz showed up as like a chimp.
Jesus, John. Fuck.
Well, what else would Jazz be?
I don't know.
A panther?
Sure.
No.
Black
Panther? No.
I'm going even.
What are you doing?
Even darker.
What would John be in Transformers? A white supremacist.
Yep. Just a ghost.
A burning cross.
Was it Jetfire? Isn't Jetfire the one that hooks up to Optimus to create super giant dude? But Jetfire, the Jetfire equivalent, if I remember correctly, is like a polar bear.
Okay, yeah. Jetfire, Jetstream. Sorry. Is there no Starscream? Is he not like a pterodactyl in it or something?
So that's what like I said, this is so many shades removed from what actual Transformers is that it's like, it's almost like how Watchmen like was supposed to be about the Justice League, but because DC hated it, like he had to change a lot of things to make it not that. Terabot, who
Terabot.
I think his name is Terabot. He's the pterodactyl one that looks an awful lot like Starscream. But then there's also Dinobot. That is his name. Dinobot, and he's a Velociraptor, and his character is more like Starscream than...
I want to just go and sit down and read the whole, like, Wikipedia article on Beast Wars, because, not for the story, but just how this happened, like,
Yeah, I kind of want to know how this came into being.
And what weird Japanese sensation did get ripped off to make Beast Wars for America, or was it made for America first, and they're like, kids like, I don't know, animals?
Kind of how, like, Voltron spawned Power Rangers.
Sure.
Sort of nonsense.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird. What else?
What have you been doing, Matt?
Yeah, Matt.
I watched a bunch of StarCraft.
Oh, right on.
I felt really bored.
You don't watch StarCraft.
Some MLG
You're
stuff?
Doing it wrong.
It was the NASL.
Oh, is that okay. the best way
North
to
American you? Star League.
Oh, wow.
Star League?
Are you serious? Is that...
It's oh, wait, StarCraft League.
StarCraft,
or maybe just Star League.
Star League would be better.
I want to be in
now
that.
I can't
right? remember. I want to be in the Star League.
How do I get my membership
How
card?
Is it associated with Starship Troopers?
Play StarCraft? I don't know. Be really good at it?
So it's just a tournament league. Like, it's like MLG or what's the other
GSL.
Big one? GSL.
Yeah, it's just
GSL
like that.
Sounds like some okay. sort of like chemical. I would
so,
put in my body.
Good rounds was, I don't know, like it's...
A bunch of Koreans won.
Okay.
Some Canadians won.
I thought this was the American League. What are you talking about right now?
Americans suck at this game.
That's why I was baffled when you said that there is an American
Americans can't
league.
Compete in any video game.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. We can't.
What are you talking about? There's tons of sweet Call of Duty players that... Are American?
There's probably some Chinese kid out there who could whoop every fucking American's ass.
Like Little Poison, who was really awesome at playing Guitar Hero.
Who?
Do you remember Little Poison? Lil Poison?
Hell no.
Long time ago when Guitar Hero was like a big deal, there was seriously like this...
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time
ago. I remember
ago.
Those days.
Like 2008.
Like
those were dark
5 years
Jesus.
Ago. So there's this little kid called Little Poison. He's like 6 or 7 years old and was like the third best player on the planet at Guitar Hero. Like outrageous nonsense.
I think the best player or the guy who scored the highest or whatever was like 10 minutes away from my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Little Poison was like, I saw videos of this kid like was playing.
Sounds like an interview possibility, Matt.
Oh, God. I don't know what he's doing.
It'd be like Behind the Music, where they are now.
Yeah, let's go hunt this guy down.
In college, not playing Guitar Hero anymore, probably.
Yeah.
Now he's Just Dance 4 hero.
Exactly.
Oh, disgusting.
Not yet, he's not.
Not yet, but soon. Soon. So I'm curious, like, was the StarCraft 2 interesting to watch? Or I know you're
kinda?
A big fighting game
I watch a lot of fighting game streams. I find those more entertaining, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, with like there's like a lot of terminology, and I don't know any of the strategies, so I don't know if something's going bad or good, really.
Uh-huh.
But
were the announcers American?
One was American, and the other one, I believe, was Dutch.
There's no like
they're called Mr.
No
Bitter and Rotterdam.
Spanish one where he just screams "goal" at the end of every match.
No, I'm just wondering because when BlizzCon was happening last year, I watched a lot of their coverage of stuff. And I really loved watching their StarCraft 2 games because the commentators were really well-spoken, really awesome to listen to. They made sense. Like, they would explain a lot of tactics and really clever. And then they were doing a Dota 2 stream as well. And that was by two European dudes who all they would do is just speak in totally bizarre terminology.
Yeah.
And just make up words and just make noises and yell a lot. And it just was so amateurish, and I was like, for a game that you're trying to show, like, hey, new people who are interested in this, wouldn't you want to have better announcers backing it and make it sound more appealing instead of just impenetrable? So I guess announcers play big into whether or not I'd be interested in watching some streams of video games. These guys were good?
Yeah, like, they didn't really explain strategies a whole lot, but they were explaining what's going on screen.
Okay.
Still, like, they were kind of, like, in the middle. They were... But they were decent, so
Cool. I feel like you're for someone coming into it not knowing much about it, the announcers would have a lot of weight as to whether or not I would actually enjoy watching something like that, because I feel like there's a barrier to entry that means I have to sort of know a certain level of jargon and have to sort of be pandered to a little bit.
Oh yeah, I would want like beginner's league.
Oh yeah, yeah.
StarCraft.
Yeah.
Or
just give me two channels: the raw like hardcore channel that I turn into if I like when I know my stuff, or like the low level channel where they'll just placate me and tell me everything's gonna be okay.
That'd be kind of cool. Have dual announcing of things, and one would be more a hardcore end, and the other would be like, "Hey, this is what's happening, you idiot."
Or give me a closed captioning over top of the hardcore that just like sort of explains what they're talking about, like the translated version.
Anything else, Matt, besides just watching some pro gaming?
No. No? That was about it, yeah.
No. Mm. Nothing else exciting?
No.
Hey, Griff, I played a game.
Well, yeah, what'd you play?
I played Sorcery.
What is Sorcery? Oh, for the PlayStation?
Yeah, for the PlayStation. I had to, like, knock the dust off my Move controller and my Move camera. Thank God I still have those things.
Do you drink that potion?
Yeah, I drink a lot of potions. The game is not bad.
Really?
But here's what I will say about that game. I would rather be playing that game with a damn controller.
Okay.
Because while it's cool to, like, flick the wand and, like, throw magic spells in different directions, and the game works really well with those controls, but I played that game for 2 hours, and I just... I did not want to move my arm anymore.
Oh, okay.
I was exhausted.
And you're getting, like, sorcery elbow?
Well, it's... Because you'll have enemies... Sorry, I backed away. You'll have enemies that... they'll put them in different sort of odd situation-like angles where you have to, like, flick it in a certain way to get it, like, to curve your little light thing.
Oh, you're, like, the wanted of wizards.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to shoot your...
You have to get really pissed and then bend your magic missiles?
Yeah, exactly. Your magic, that's a good word for it. They're magic missiles because they have no elemental property. They're just missile. And it just... You got to curve it around and hit dudes around things, and sometimes people are up high, so you have to, like, literally raise your arm and flick the wand. Mm-hmm. And so you'll run into whole sections where, like, that's all it is. Like, you're running across this pathway with archers up on these ledges, and you just, like, have to raise your arm and flick violently, and it's like the new shake weight. Like,
you're not controlling your dude's movement around, are you? It's just kind of bouncing from cover to cover?
You are completely controlling
it. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you've got your...
So it's not like the Harry Potter game?
No, not at all. This is, like, if anything, I was sort of thinking, like, a Harry Potter game in this capacity would be kind of cool. But you'll have, you've got your navigation controller in the left hand to let you move around and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Or in my case, a PlayStation controller.
Sure.
In your left hand to move around and do certain things. Like, at some point, early on in the game, spoilers. You get a shield spell that is activated by the left trigger, which blocks everything.
That's a pretty big spoiler.
Yeah, it's like...
It blocks everything.
It pretty much does, unless it's coming from directly behind you. And then you use that in conjunction. Like, there's a shield bash that you can do with it to get people away from you so you can throw more magic missiles at them. And so far, I only have two elemental properties. There's an earth attack, and then there's just the generic attack. The earth is really good for hitting multiple enemies. The stories...
Can you charge any of the spells to make them bigger or awesomer?
I just drank a potion that got me craft. You can drink potions to increase your stats, like having more MP and having more health and getting new abilities and things like that. And throughout just going through the progression of the story, you find new spells. Just in general, which is kind of cool. So there's some alchemy in the game too, where you have to like use your controller to like pour in certain amounts of and things like that, and then have to stir the pot
to craft your potion.
Yeah, so it's a little hokey and it's a little gamey for the Move, but at the same time, it works. Like this again shows to me that the Move works a whole hell of a lot better than the Kinect does. It just sucks that people don't make games for it.
Well, they did. It was called Sorcery.
Yeah, and. So here's the thing. The story is rather trivial, but at the same time, mildly compelling. Like, it's about as entertaining as a Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay.
But I watch Saturday morning cartoons. So, it deals with you being an orphan apprentice boy who is, like, 2 or 3 weeks into training as this apprentice, but is, like, not... It's a little of that Mickey Mouse story of the apprentice where I'm not really satisfied with like the way my training is progressing. So I'm just going to sneak into my like teacher's like room and steal some crap from him and just play around with magic stuff until I break everything.
Okay.
And then I get into a wacky adventure.
And then hijinks ensue.
Exactly. Hijinks ensue until you kill a banshee and then you steal this thing from the banshee and that thing disenchants this magical cat friend that you have. And then you find out that she's actually this fairy princess and her evil fairy mother is out to get her. And that's where I stopped playing the game because because I was just like, okay, the story's getting good, but my arm can't take it anymore.
Oh, man, my brain couldn't take that description.
So, it's interesting. I would love to sit there and play that game, but I can't play it for an extended period of time. And it's not that I'm fat and lazy. It's that certain amount of stress from shaking your arm rapidly. Like it's not like they're like, oh, this enemy's going to stand still. And like you just throw things. Like I am playing on a normal setting, which isn't difficult. But at the same time, so I'm still like
I'm guessing what they do is flicking. You just there's not enough to break that up. Like your every combat sequence is just flicking the magic wand. There's no like platforming or other forms of combat or exploration that helps to break up that tedious wand flicking.
Not even puzzle solving really. Okay. That I've come across.
So I could see that getting really really painful and irritating after a while.
Yeah, it's just the thing of like I just don't want to shake my arm that much for 2 hours.
Sure.
Not like that anyway.
Right.
So yeah. It's good. I might play a little bit more of it. It depends on where it's saved. Apparently, I stopped playing it for a while, and roommate came and turned it off without me knowing about it.
Oh, and lost your progress.
I don't know if it did or not. If it did,
there's no auto-saving in Sorcery.
I'm not sure if there is, because when I pause the game, there is a save game feature, and sometimes that scares me a little bit, because I know auto-saving is a big thing, but I don't...
But nowadays, the autosave.
But I don't know like where it would have autosaved me. So if it didn't save any of it, I'm done with that game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that again.
You said you're playing Minnow something on your iPhone too?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a Pokemon ripoff.
Ooh.
But it's like the best kind of Pokemon ripoff. They only have like maybe 40 at most, but it's like I'll say about 30 different animals that you can catch and collect. It's not like you roving around like it is and it isn't. Imagine it this way. Imagine Donkey Kong Country, where you've got your different like islands that you go to,
mm-hmm.
and there's different like areas on the island that you go to.
Levels. One
yeah,
might say.
Yeah, levels, stages, levels.
How many Kongs are there?
None that I've encountered so far. But so you go into your different levels, and inside the level there are different areas where it's just like, oh, there's an enemy to fight, and you just click on the enemy, and then you go and fight them to level up your animal, and then
oh, like a rhino or a frog.
I have
or an ostrich.
I have a ferret.
No,
that's a fiery ferret. Oh. I have a cat. So it's like a panther-esque cat, but it's also a fire cat. I have this squid that's like a... It looks a lot like a tentacruel. Mm-hmm. And I have this weird fly bug thing. It's air elemental. And there's other things. There's like a rock creature you can get. There's a lizard creature you can get. There's just tons of them.
How do you get them?
Sort of the same way you would in, say, Pokemon, where... Okay.
But you're not, like, scanning in QR codes for them.
No. You'll just, basically, like I said, where you're going to go and click on those monsters. They're not Pokemon monsters. You are fighting a different breed of monster, but occasionally you'll run into, like, the, like, unique monsters, which are the ones you want to catch. And you have to throw candy at them, and if they accept the candy, then they join your team. The cool thing is that game is fully animated. Huh. Completely fully animated. Like, so that thing that Pokemon has never done.
Like FMVs of squirrels?
Not like that.
Oh.
Is
this video of this ferret on fire?
Yeah, it's, it's a little like anime, little like, again, Saturday morning cartoon, kind of like, I don't know, stylized cartoon, like animated stuff. But, like, when I make them do an attack, they have, like, a full, like, animation, like, that they do for that special attack and everything. Oh. So it's not, like, they just shake and move around, okay. Like, and then things happen. It's just...
Like, they'll run up at the enemy and scratch them with an... And it won't just be, like, claw marks that go across?
Yeah, no, it's, like, actual, like when my cat does fire claws, like, stands up on 2 feet and then throws 2 waves of claw, like... fiery claws at the enemy. I mean, it's not
Tiger Knee.
Yeah, exactly. It's not full, but it's a lot better than what I've seen in Pokemon.
Yeah.
And the game It takes some doing.
What was the name of it?
Minnow Monster. Mino Monster. Sure. M-I-N-O. Monsters.
Yeah. In English, we would say that minnow, right?
Yeah, minnow. So. Mino. I don't know. I've been struggling with that for a long time. It's sort of a slow progression for that game, too. You gain levels.
Is it free?
And, it is free.
Okay.
It is free. There's some buy-in options you can do where the game clearly wants you to spend your own money, but it's like after a little bit of a barrier to entry, you'll start getting the things you need with some consistency. So the game wants to send you push notifications, and at first I was like, this is dumb. I don't know why it would want to do this. And I was like, oh, because it wants me to continue playing the game. And then I realized this is Pokemon for people who are on the go that don't want to wait around for it. Because when you defeat enemies in an area, a little timer starts rotating down. So it's not like you can continue to like spam enemies in the area. So when that timer goes down, like say I beat all the enemies in an area and I'm like, well, I gotta wait for those timers to go down. I'll just drop out of it. And then my phone will be like, hey, monsters showed up again in that area. Probably go check that out. Or like a new boss has shown up in that area. Should go check that out. So it's, I don't know.
Sounds cool. I might check it out.
It's mildly interesting. It's a free game. You level your dudes up, given new abilities. Certain monsters can evolve.
They evolve.
Certain ones do.
Not all of them. All right.
So far, I've only seen one that does, but meh. Meh.
Matt, have you played anything?
No, I will when I go home.
Okay.
I'll check out that Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
The first episode, and then the second one
should be out by that time, yeah.
So I'll play that, too.
Right on.
Have you played anything?
I have, yeah. Besides going to Adventureland and getting sun poisoning yesterday, I did some other awesome things, which would be getting Pokemon Conquest for the DS. I started playing that. And it's exactly what you'd want it to be. It's Pokemon with tactics.
You like it a lot, then?
Yeah. It's a slow burn. I mean, it lacks the side of Pokemon that you really like, which is like capturing and training monsters. And leveling up and having the Pokemon change and grow stronger.
So that doesn't happen at all?
Not that I know of yet. Right now, it's just kind of like you're battling to capture a town. You capture the town by defeating all the warlords in that town, which is just one big battle. And then once you do that, you can go to certain areas in the town, like shops or like battlegrounds to fight Pokemon. And you gain a link with your Pokemon, and that's what I'm guessing levels them up. But the thing that's kind of a bummer is Pokemon only have one attack. So like the Eevee that I start off with can only attack one tile directly in front of it with a quick attack. I've got like trainer abilities, which one is like the one for your main character is like it lets you move faster or move a greater distance. Each Pokemon has a different kind of movement area, like distance wise. Everyone has a different attack, kind of, which like fire Pokemon generally have Ember and it'll attack it'll be skip a space, hit the space after that. So, two spaces out from the Pokemon, negating the first space in front of it. So if you defeat these other trainers like quickly enough or using certain tactics or whatever, they'll join your army. And it's just like conquering all these different cities and defending your own cities when those other people start attacking you. And grinding. And yeah, I haven't got anything to evolve yet. I don't even know if that's going to happen. I can definitely see there's a ton going on, and I'm only in just scratching the surface. I mean, I can tell it's a huge game.
Huh. That sort of seems like some stuff is missing there that I sort of wish I would have seen in that.
If there was more of like you can switch Pokemon with your trainer. Like if I could be a trainer that had this ability and I could match it with this Pokemon, I'd prefer to do that.
Well,
I don't know if that's something that you get later on.
How many Pokemon can you have out? Like on
you can have somewhere around 8 trainer and Pokemon pairs in one city.
Oh, but only each trainer only gets one Pokemon?
Yes.
That's weird. Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe later in the game if you can swap them around or how that works.
Huh.
But there's only so many trainers.
Okay.
So you'll get doubles. Like, you'll get two of the shy trainer guys, and one of them has a C-Dot, and the other one has a Mudkip.
Wait, so are you telling me that you, as an as like a warlord, have trainers?
That... other warlords, just to say.
Oh, okay.
Like, other characters.
Okay, so a trainer is a warlord?
Yeah, more or less. Like, the warlords would be, like, the big-name gym leaders.
But still, so, like, you have a party that consists of players.
Yeah.
And then you have those players that have their Pokemon?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're always having this player and Pokemon pair.
That seems weird.
Eh, it works. It makes sense once you get into doing it.
I'm sure.
Because it gives your Pokemon more abilities. The only thing that I'm just really off-put by right now is the lack of customization.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just kind of weird. But maybe that's a late game thing. It is really fun, though. It seems all right. You know, definitely a... If you have a bunch of time to kill and are going to be on the road, then that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
So, it's good. That's really cool.
That's cool. It's not 3D, right?
It is for the DS.
Sure.
Not the 3DS. And that's...
How's the music in that game?
I didn't really notice it, so... Okay.
Not good.
Not remarkable, no. Yeah. Nope. That's it, though. That's all I've played for games this week.
Is Team Rocket in that game?
No, not yet, at least. But, I mean, the really cool thing is the designs for the main gym leader warlords. Like, they're just...
Yeah.
They're pretty awesome. Like, the big warlord dudes are just kind of, like, the really sweet, like, hippie forest warrior ninja who's, like, has the Sneevely or whatever. It's just really cool designs.
Did you happen to see... it might have been Game Informer. Somebody on Game Informer posted a fan art mock-up of what they wish like that game would have looked more like, which is basically they wanted that game to look more like feudal Japanese art, like Okami art style, which is like it's like literal translations of like it, one of the guys, like the Pokeballs are like these.
As far as I know, like, there's no Pokeballs in this game.
Right, but these are like these red and white like wicker baskets that have tops on them, and there's like a Charmander like looks like an actual like lizard like popping out with fire going everywhere, and there's like a Squirtle like busting out of his.
No, but I will say the one really weird thing about that game is in the description somewhere in the game, either in the manual or in one of the menus or something like that, if you dig in there, I found something that was like, in other parts of the world, people interact with their Pokemon differently, putting them in small devices and carrying them around with them. And you're like...
Implying that this game takes place at the same time?
Yeah, like it's in the same universe
what?
As Johto League, and there are just this really super backwards, like... Like, you know,
what
19
are they
or 1800
about?
Feudal Japan, but then there's also, like, you know, 2012
what
Japan
is that
existing in the same time. Kind of weird. Kind of weird. But that I is... also remember there was some of those Pokemon movies where they had, like, the lockbox Pokemon with the ancient warriors with the broadswords.
Yeah, so weird.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible that I know that. Any other games anybody's played recently worth discussing? Probably not, right? Spec Ops: The Line's coming out tomorrow. That's headed my way. I'm excited to.
You know what else comes out tomorrow?
No, what?
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not the movie, the game.
Cool. Are you going to
play it?
Yeah. It's on my Gamefly queue. I need to send back Sorcery.
Just getting all those.
Send back Sorcery in the hopes to get. Silent Hill Downpour.
What is wrong with you?
Lollipop Chainsaw or The
Amazing
Spider-Man.
I'll just loan you Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, you probably should. Do you have it on Xbox?
Yeah.
All right.
It's all the same, John.
All right, it's fine. It's all green, though. Oh, man.
Yeah, but that's it for games. So let's talk about news.
Do we suppose color palette options for new consoles?
What?
This Xbox 720 is going to be purple.
Sure. I want it to be red. I want a red console. I don't want any of this green, black.
You know they made a red Xbox, right? For Gears 3 or something.
That's a dirty red.
Maybe a Resident Evil.
No, not for Gears 3. It was actually for Gears 2, I think. Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
You can spray paint it if you really want.
Hell no.
Did we ever get a white PlayStation 3?
Yeah, there was one.
For a short period of time.
There was Final Fantasy 13 Collector's Edition one that was like a pearly pink white.
Was that American, but, though? North American?
I don't know. Possibly.
I know they did that for Xbox. But...
You can get your systems different colors if you really, really want.
Yeah, if you really want to get, I know there was a...
I think it'll be... I think if new consoles come out, they will be black. And just because that's what is in the... That's generally what the home entertainment market
that is. That is what electronics look like. Black or silver.
Or white. What?
Nothing.
White?
No.
Like the Wii?
No white.
No?
That's a dumb
color.
Like
Apple devices?
Although white looks cleaner in less dust.
Let's talk about some news, though.
Speaking of dust. This week, that beta opens.
Oh,
that closed beta opens.
Okay.
I hope I get picked.
Did you
sign up for it?
No, I didn't sign up for it. No.
Here's hoping that I get picked.
Well, I hope you do, too. I'm sure you will. I mean, did you sign up online?
I signed up, like, immediately as soon as they opened registration for it.
Okay.
So, yes.
All right.
I'm on their mailing list. Please tell me.
Also, speaking of Dust John, the Xbox Summer of Arcade list is coming out with prices and dates.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we can expect to have a couple things coming out here to play for downloadable. I believe it starts with Tony Hawk HD Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we get the Dust... No, Death something? Death look, death
crap,
death bananas.
You're gonna make me look this up.
Matt, what do you got on this?
The order, I'm not sure. I thought Wreck-A-Tier was second.
Oh yeah, the Kinect game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, I got it.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is Tony Hawk HD, coming out July 18th for 1,200 Microsoft points. Followed by Matt, you're correct. Wreck-A-Tier, July 25th for 800 Microsoft points. That's the Kinect game. That's like Boom Blocks.
And Angry Birds. And
babies.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
August 1st, we get Deadlight, which...
I can't remember.
Did we decide what Deadlight was?
No, I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Although it is 100 or 1,200 Microsoft points.
Ooh. That's $15.
Yeah. Same as Hybrid coming out August 8th.
How much was Bastion? 15?
Probably 15. Everything is 15 now.
Yeah.
Hybrid, which is the fifth cell, weird shooter, cover based shooter where you don't actually move your dude around. You just bounce from cover to cover. And finally, Dust in Elysian Tale. Which is like your Metroidvania style hack and slash, ultra cute, cartoony, high animation art style, really cool looking, awesome game. And that one's going to be coming out August 15th for the same thing, same price, $1,200.
Yeah.
Saints Row 4 has been announced. It is going to be the next great sequel to the Saints Row franchise. It is going to be, instead of having the Enter the Dominatrix standalone Saints Row 3 game that comes out at the end of this year, that all that project is going to get rolled into Saints Row 4. And all this comes from Jason Rubin. It's supposed to come out 2013, and he said that, you know, it was just too crazy and full of potential to be... its own game, the Enter the Dominatrix, which just kind of, I don't know how I feel about this.
So this is what I sort of thought of when I read into this. How do people who purchase season passes for Saints Row 3 feel about this?
Well, this wasn't going to be a part of the season pass. But
what? I thought season pass includes all DLC.
It's not. It's a standalone game. Enter the Dominatrix a standalone like $40 game or something.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Okay.
But I withdraw that's a good my question. Comment. Still, no. People who paid for the season pass should feel pretty disheartened because the only really good part of the season pass would have been if Enter the Dominatrix was downloadable.
Yeah. Well, was it initially announced as a standalone only?
It was initially announced as an April Fool's joke.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then later said, okay, this is awesome. We're going to actually make it into a thing. Now it's just it's kind of weird to think that that idea is going to be turned into Saints Row 4. So does that mean that that Saints Row 4 is going to be so close and similar to Saints Row 3? Like, are the big grand...
Saints Row 3-2.
Is it going to be... crazier is what I'm thinking, and I'm also worried that, like, no, it's not, because if you're just taking pieces of additions to 3, like, is that really going to be a nuts game? Like, if you're given license to go crazier, it doesn't sound like it's going to be crazier. It sounds like it's just going to be more Saints Row 3.
Saints Row 3, or 3, 2,
yeah, we yeah, yes, John, we've gone through that before. What do you get? I mean, this doesn't bother you guys?
No, it doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean, we sort of agreed that a sequel to Saints Row 3 would be awesome.
Yes.
So
I'm asking you,
if
the sequel is just more Saints Row 3 and not crazier like I was hoping for.
But allegedly, Enter the Dominatrix is so crazy that they want to put it
into
a new title.
Have you read about what it was supposed to be?
Yeah, it's, like, weird alien just, coming down and giving you superpower nonsense.
You're in a Matrix thing. You're playing Deckard's Die for the entire game.
Well, it's but you're maybe, in a computer but program. Hey, maybe this is only even part of it.
Well, I would assume that yes. Now Enter the Dominatrix will be a level in 4.
Sure, and 4 may not have anything to do with 3. Presumably.
Okay, yeah.
Pure wild speculation.
But if they're
Saints Row could just go the road of Final Fantasy.
And putting it into 4, then it will have something to do with it.
But this is a standalone content. It doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with the...
I'm not articulating my...
No, I get what you're saying. Like,
if you created this stuff to be an expansion to 3, uh-huh. and then you're moving that into 4, it just seems like it's going to pull the whole... like the whole grand design for what a 4 could be down, because you have to shoehorn this other thing you've already made for a pre-existing game onto that. Like, instead of going crazier and nutser, you can only go so crazy and so nuts because you already have this thing you have to fit into
it. This may seem like a stretch to you, but I would say let's take something of old and look at Super Mario Brothers 2, where that was not supposed to be a game at all if it got shoehorned into being Super Mario Brothers 2, and now a lot of the stuff in Super Mario Brothers 2 is canon to Mario. Like, I don't know.
I don't.
I'm reaching.
Not at all.
I'm just saying, like, just because it was meant for Saints Row 3 doesn't...
No, John, what it would be like is if you had Mario 2, like Japan's Mario 2, and all it was is the Lost Levels, which is just Mario 1, but harder and shittier.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing here. It's like, this is stuff that we were going to add to Saints Row 3, but didn't have time, so let's put it in the next game and make the next game all about this.
All right, how about this? How about none of this ever got mentioned, and then this stuff showed up? Like, what does it really change? Like, granted, their intentions were to put it into Saints Row 3 or make it part of the Saints Row 3 universe, but now that they've decided that it would be better suited to use in Saints Row 4, like, I don't know.
Okay, well,
they're the artists, they're the professionals.
The other reason why I'm nervous about this is because we've got the person, the THQ vice president resigning, Terry Manby.
This is true.
And then a big reshuffling of the corporate structure of THQ. So the reason why this whole situation with Saints Row 4 makes me nervous is because it's like, well, what if this shifting Saints Row 3 DLC into Saints Row 4 is just like, we can't afford to spend the time and craziness on this game, so we're gonna bank on the success of the last game, just shove this crap out the door, make some money because people will buy it, and then save our company because everybody's abandoning ship.
Yeah.
That's why it scares me, is because it's like, well, you've got the potential to do something totally amazing and crazier than the last game, but instead, you're already doing something that seems...
Yeah, I can understand from a financial standpoint, like, not printing and pressing that game to just insert it into another game and cut the cost
Yeah.
makes makes a lot of sense in that regard, which is unfortunate, but...
Why not just do it as downloadable content, then?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just, why not just have it as, like, $30 downloadable game?
Unless it exceeds the 2 gigabyte cap, what's it did? I'm sorry, I'm missing this. Gunstringer.
Oh.
Where it's going the way, like, they just kept going too far and too far and too far with it, and now it's 2 gigs worth of content, and maybe they just kept going further and further in that, and just saying... This is starting to spin off into its own beast. Why don't we just make this Saints Row 4?
Yeah.
That speculation.
Right. No, but, you're right.
Maybe they saw something better in what they were creating, and maybe they also saw an opportunity to make money. It could potentially be the best of both worlds. I can only hope for the best from Volition.
Yeah. I don't trust this Jason Rubin guy.
That's fair. That's fair. Great. I mean, like, previous comments, he's...
Everything's, like, out of context, and you're like, oh, no, he's just saying this. Everything's fine. Don't worry. And then this stuff starts happening. And then next, it's going to be like, oh, we're closing another studio.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You know, we're not going to make... we're going to just shoot anybody who's ever touched a Red Faction game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just getting more nervous.
Just take him out back here. And execute him.
Oh, some weird thing that happened last week called Games for Change 2012.
Oh, I didn't read that.
This was like a game jam, and one of the announcements was you can Portal will be free for teachers.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a free game design tool. It allows people who are teaching game design to just have a free product and a free thing to give to their classroom and use in their classroom as to, like, how do you design levels? How do you design games? Teachers that sign up for it will be a part of, like, a beta. They'll have access to, like, an educator forum. It uses a Portal 2 Puzzle Master. It's just, like, a really awesome thing for Valve to do. The really crazy part about it was... This was all announced in, like, some really fancy letterhead from Valve, but then it had the Aperture Science logo printed on the bottom, which is just kind of like, now, it's like, of course.
That sounds exactly like Valve. Yeah. Nonsense. Yep. Aperture Science is doing this, right. You know, for science.
Exactly. Endorsed by the Australian Man Comics.
Yeah.
Other... crazy things that have been happening. We've got this totally bizarre Metal Gear Solid 5 pseudo leak thing. There's a French gaming magazine that had an interview with Kojima, and in the interview he was talking about Metal Gear Rising Revengeance and saying how it's going to fit into the timeline of Metal Gear in a certain way, and then he also went on to say, like, it'll fit in there, including Metal Gear Solid 5. And that's when the internet blew up, and everybody's like, oh my god, Metal Gear Solid 5. And then he also said something along the lines of, we're not done with Solid Snake yet. Even though the company wanted me to be done with him, he's like, we're not giving him his rest that he needed. So,
but Kojima is not heading this, right, though? Like,
nobody knows. There's been no more details on this, except for it uses the Fox engine.
Okay.
This hasn't been officially confirmed. It was only, like, two sentences, and then, like, in the report, he supposedly looked at his PR manager and, like, cringed and said, I'm sorry for saying that. So, just Kojima getting really excited about something. So, I'm guessing, I bet he is in charge of it, especially if it's using the Fox engine, which he's behind. And then there was also all these other little weird things that were coming up with it, too, which is more images for Project Enders, and then this new thing called, like, Ogre... Team Ogre or something like that, which is this really bizarre looking, like, women who are partially monsters and demon bodies, but lady faces.
I didn't see
it's all concept arted, and then maybe some figures, but people are trying to parse out what is supposed to be for what, like, what, where are these concept arts attaching themselves to? So, kind of wild stuff there. Speaking of season passes, John.
Okay, sure.
Darksiders 2 is going to have a crazy... Oh, yeah. Speaking of crazy freaking THQ nonsense. Darksiders 2 is going to have a season pass. You get this from purchasing the game from THQ directly.
Uh-huh.
And then it gives you access to 3 pieces of DLC.
So if you just straight up purchase a $60 product from THQ directly.
Yeah.
That just entitles you to 3 pieces of DLC?
Yes.
What does that afford that? Like, what kind of convenience does that allow them to give that kind of a...
They don't have to pay the retailer for... Yeah. The retailer doesn't get a cut of any of that?
Yeah, that just makes me kind of wonder, like, how much they have to shell out for, like, retailers that they can afford, presumably, $30 worth of free DLC.
Which is probably, like, the profit margin is greater.
Yeah, I'm sure there... I know, I'm sure there's people... That is their job to make that sound and be feasible. But how many people do you think are actually going to go out and purchase that straight from THQ to make that work?
I want to say that the first DLC, the Argyleus Tomb, is retailer specific. So, like, if you order through GameStop, you get this DLC, this first DLC for free. But if you get it from THQ, you get all the DLCs.
That really
free.
Just seems like it devalues the price of DLC
to be able to get it for free.
Yeah,
that's. Like, I mean. It's also possible that you have to pay $10 more for this, too.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you may not just be getting it for the straight-up price. That wasn't mentioned.
That's true.
You know, it could be just a discount on DLC.
What do you suppose the recompense is if, say, THQ goes completely belly up and cannot dole out a third piece? Like, say they get 2 DLCs out of that, but can't come up with a third one. Like, they're just not capable of, like... cashing in on that.
I would think that they would just be like, here's a bunch of character skins. Enjoy your third piece of DLC.
DLC. Yeah. They just throw a bone.
I mean, if it's like, we can't actually create any more substantial content and they just have to do something else, like I'm sure they do it.
Now here's death to just in avoid gold.
Yeah, like you get a, gold you get a death. Blinged out death.
Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it wouldn't take much to create an arts asset and say, like, now you get a different weapon that does the same thing as the other weapons.
Yeah,
or here's access to all the costumes for all the retailers. And I think that they would figure out a way to make good on it, even if it is really slimy and not a big deal.
Yeah.
Have they said what the other downloadable content is besides the first one?
Not
so. Essentially, you could buy this game from them directly, get your first piece of DLC, which you already know, but the other two could be like, oh, here's a $10 character skins, like you say.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't want this. And well, I guess you get to get it for free. It depends, or discounted.
I mean, yeah, potentially.
This is the gamble you run.
Yeah, that is. That's why I'm kind of iffy on it.
No, it's a good question. Like, if it comes out to be the same price as a retail, like if it's $60 to THQ's website, then,
if
why not?
Yeah. It's $60. Whatever.
I mean, I would prefer that because then you're giving your money straight to them.
Completely.
But, you know, then again, I should say it's not THQ, right? Like, THQ is the publisher.
Yeah. Who makes those games?
Let's say Volition. I don't know.
I don't know if it's.
And maybe it's in-house THQ studio.
Could be.
What else we got here?
You want to talk about that big thing?
What's the big thing?
You know, that extra large thing.
Oh, good one. yeah, sure. I was first going to say Okami's coming out for PS3. With Move
Something
support.
That I actually want to play?
For $30, I think.
That's a steal.
For download.
Download?
Yeah,
PS3. Oh, God. $30. Of partition space in my wallet right now.
It looks great too. The side by sides they did of it, like, man, it looks beautiful.
I love me some Okami.
And then the art style lends it to just being up-res super nicely too. So
because I remember trying
to play, worthwhile purchase.
Yeah, I remember trying to play Okami. How many IGN watermarks are going to be on that cover art? Anyway, I remember trying to play that on the Wii, thinking it would be better suited on the Wii than it was for the PS2. And then in playing that game on the Wii, I realized that that's wrong.
Yeah, well, you can still use the controller. You don't have to use the Move with it. Like, you'll still be able to play it like you would on the Xbox, or excuse me, the PS3. Worthwhile, though.
So if the Move controls do suck, I can just always just revert to
Definitely.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's a pretty long game too, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's huge.
It's a Zelda game.
Oh God.
Yeah, I beat World 1 and I didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
I never played it. So maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know.
It's really cool. Non-HD collection if you'd like it.
Oh.
Do you have a PS2?
Yeah. I have a PS2.
I can play it on my PS3.
You can?
Yeah, I have an old PS3. Yeah, fist backwards compatible. Yeah.
I used to till mine yellow lighted.
Mine hasn't crapped out. I'm thankful for that.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah. I'm just saying.
Could I?
Okay. Cerveza?
Yeah, sure. So you got the 3DS, the Nintendo Direct announcement over the weekend was totally crazy. Makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
makes
all that stuff.
A lot of weird things come out of, like, Miyamoto's saying that we totally think that the design for the current 3DS is totally fine at E3. And then going and creating a larger one.
Great.
So you've got a new 3DS. It's called the XL, just like the old DSi XL. It comes with a 3-gig card, SD card, for downloading more stuff. It's going to be priced at $199. It comes out August 19th for the United States. It has an AC adapter, which everybody freaked out about for no reason. Like, when the technical specs were listed for America, there was no AC adapter. So people were like, how do I charge it?
Solar power.
But the good news is it's supposed to have like 3+ more hours of battery life than the current 3DS.
It's impressive considering the screen is so much larger.
Yeah, but they can also cram a bigger battery in there, I'm assuming.
That's true.
Let's see here. It's going to be a 4.88-inch upper screen and a 4.18-inch lower screen.
That is huge.
So, yeah, you're going to have a big Bertha of a 3DS device.
It's like the size of a playing card. That's monstrous. Christ, you could kill a man with that.
The other news that came out of the Nintendo Direct was U.S. is going to be getting the 3DS Layton called the Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask.
Sweet.
That Smash Bros. Game that was rumored is happening. It's going to be coming out for the Wii U and the 3DS. And here's the nuts part.
Ah.
It's coming out. It's being made by Namco Bandai.
Yeah, buddy. Now we're talking.
Virtual Smash Bros.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be like crossover
with SoCal. Like
Akira. Yeah, and Ivy versus Slippy. It's actually going to be a tag game. Just
Nightmare and...
Yeah, there you go.
Nightmare and Marth.
Or maybe some of those new hot Soul Calibur 5 characters.
Yeah. Like that guy.
Yeah.
And that other guy.
Yeah.
And that girl.
Sure. Sakurai is still going to be overseeing the project. It's not just going to be like completely shipped off to Namco Bandai. But he's still going to have some involvement in it, as well as two big names in Namco games, like the Tails dude and...
Oh, okay, so that seems like a
The Virtual Guy. I don't know who
what's his name from Tales of Vesperia?
I didn't write their names down, so I don't know who they are. Yeah. But yes, their big names are all going to be involved in it. To what extent that is, we shall see.
That seems like a weird choice of like people to take that over, right? No retro games? Like, isn't that their go-to for, hey, we're going to push you off to make something
else? Their go-to is Sakurai's in-house, Sakurai's studio.
Right. But.
So, that's weird that he's not doing that. I mean, he just finished up Kid Icarus. If he's not doing the next, if his team is not directly working on the next Smash Bros., what is his team working on?
Zelda?
Sure.
Metroid.
Why not?
Star Fox.
Sure. All of the above.
Kirby.
Why not? Well, maybe, but probably not. Nintendo eShop is going to have a summer promotion, which...
Lololo and La La La. Return.
I don't know. Did you just have a stroke? What is Lololo and La La La?
Disregard that.
Nuts and Milk or something?
No.
Are you trying to say the Lolly Lally Low from Metal Gear Solid or something? Like,
no, you're supposed to hear the Patriots.
Snake's not in this anymore?
No, it was an old game where Lololo was this blue character who was trying to save La La La, and it was a Nintendo property. And they only made an appearance in Kirby's Avalanche other than their own game. Anyway.
I wonder if this also means that the only characters you play as is just the characters from Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yep, that's it. Only those.
It's like, haha, we got you!
That and Game & Watch. Yeah. That's it.
Nintendo eShop promotion for the summer. John, you don't think this is a big deal, but I actually think it's kind of cool because finally we've got Nintendo backing their online things. Like, you've got them doing a big summer promotion where it's like all these crazy old games are coming out on the eShop, like Wario Land, Kirby's everything. I don't know. It's a bunch of Kirby games. There's discounted prices on some other old games. So it looks like they're just really stepping up and going to do work on having an online presence, which is great.
When is that?
Summer.
When is it? Okay.
I great. Can't.
So anytime from now until the end of August.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
There's a really good trailer that's going to be more effective watching that than listening to me talk about all the pieces of it.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
I got some big stuff happening tomorrow.
Wow.
Some DLC hitting, right?
Yep.
Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3.
What is it called?
Director's Cut.
Director's Edition. Or cut.
Sure. Director thing. Let me pull up the thing here. Because there's a certain particular point that you have to load up to. You have to play from a certain point for it to acknowledge the DLC to make it actually happen. And it's something to do with when Cerberus attacks
base
or something.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. So if you're far past that,
yeah,
the Cerberus base attack,
it does, like, your game doesn't acknowledge that DLC. And
it also, there's also a point where it says if you go to this location, it's like there's no going back. This is the end of is the start of a lot of big things, and this is the end of your freedom. So before the Miranda mission, right, where she shows up. The Cerberus attack.
Yeah. So
Cerberus base.
The load a save game before the attack on the Cerberus base and play through the end of the game. So I assume the attack on the Cerberus base would be the. Would that be the. Oh, no, that would be the Cerberus. I assume they're meaning the attack on the Cerberus base where you go after the elusive man and you fight Kenshi dude. Like,
maybe
what's his name?
Oh God! I hope they don't make you replay that part.
That was a weird boss fight.
That was unnecessary.
That was a really sweet.
I did not.
The boss fight was weird, but that renegade option, sweet.
Yeah, I didn't
punch
do that.
Blade.
Yep. I didn't do that.
It was good.
What did you? What happened? You didn't punch the.
You
blade?
Didn't punch Blade.
Did
somebody
just
lose so. Your? Just cut your head off.
I can't remember. It's been so long.
What are you talking about? It was so long. It was like 3 months ago.
That's a long time because I played other stuff. That's a long time in video game time.
How do you? Oh man.
Maybe I can't.
How do
remember.
You not punch Blade? How do you see dude about to stab you and not just reach around and break his
or
blade?
Maybe
and
I
punch
did.
Him in the face?
I can't because I tried to like play
just
the game,
murder dude,
not do any renegade stuff, and then do all renegade stuff.
Okay, well now you can remember what happens and
get ready
to
experience
tell
the
us.
Best renegade option.
I don't think I'll be not able to punch the blade.
Right. Oh man. So yeah, I'm assuming that's the part, that's the attack on the Cerberus base you're talking about. Like you're actually going to that ship that's outside of that dying sun and screwing stuff up, which is pretty late in the game. So that makes pretty.
It
decent.
Gives you a warning that says if you go to this, this is when everything's
over.
Yeah,
this is where everything goes sideways. This is it. So
I think I might have a safety hard save in front of that.
God, I hope so. I might want to give you back your copy of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
3.
You can just watch
it. It's free,
YouTube,
though, right?
It's free.
Yep.
You can just watch it. Just
I'm kind of feeling that. I don't know if I really want to play this, because...
Yeah. I tried playing it a second time. I was like, nope, this just isn't doing it.
Yeah. You just try and kill everybody? Because I feel like that's what I'd be like, hate you all right now.
Just murder.
Sure,
everything.
Just go, Morden. I don't give a crap. Take, yep.
Yeah, this will be a true testament. How many people actually care enough to go download that to see what this new ending is?
I won't download it.
No.
I'll just go on YouTube and look at the ending and be like, okay.
But there can be multiple endings, depending. According to the articles I've read, multiple endings could exist based more on your decisions than they did previously.
They're supposed to be fleshing out the characters and the universe more after the fact, but
So we'll more, more of this is where
I
kind of
did
now.
That after I beat the game. Like I looked at all
you
the
just
other,
wrote your
other
own
stuff.
Fanfic.
No, I'm not into that.
Yeah, the true ending exists in my head. Let's see here. The other thing that's coming out tomorrow is going to be the Skyrim DLC, Dawnguard.
Yeah, buddy.
Yep. Vampires.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys know it's about vampires.
Yeah.
Have you heard?
No, very little.
I saw that trailer.
Oh, is there a trailer?
There's a trailer out for it for a while.
It's
I think it was during maybe E3. Well, no, not E3.
Well,
supposed to be the scope of like the rebels versus the army, the Stormcloaks versus the army, like the kind of multifaceted missions and decision making tree where you side with one and go to the next. You side with the Dawn Guard, which are the vampire hunters, or the vampire lord. You get a new house based on what you choose. You get new abilities based on what you choose, and then they're also buffing out the werewolf. So if you side with the vampire lord, you get made into a vampire. And then for like as many people as you kill and suck their blood, you'll get new expanded vampire abilities. Just like if you're a werewolf, the more people you kill as a werewolf, you'll develop new werewolf abilities. Some of them are kind of cool. Like you call in a pack of werewolves.
Yeah, some of them got really cool.
The vampire ones, I don't recall being that totally rad.
I'm a werewolf.
A lot of them just...
I'm a werewolf.
Like, if you wanted to be a vampire, the best thing you could do is, like, just immediately try to go for being full vampire so that you didn't suffer as much in the daylight.
Are you talking about the disease?
Yeah.
You would suffer... You couldn't even be in daylight if you went full vampire, though, in Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Oblivion? I remember reading something about Skyrim's vampire stuff, and it was just, like, so many negatives to being a vampire.
No, there had vampire disease in that.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Huh. Well, if it's the same as Oblivion, it just there's almost no point in being a full vampire because it's crazy. Like, if you go minor vampire, you get, like, a speech perk and resistance to cold or something, and then some, let's say, weakness to fire or something. So it's like, this isn't the worst.
Definitely in... in Skyrim,
you get, like, night vision or something.
In Skyrim, being a werewolf is just... infinitely better because just even if you never go werewolf,
I never went werewolf,
dude. Being completely immune to all disease,
yes,
boom,
that is
I just
great.
Cured that,
yeah, you just cured diseases.
I just cured my diseases.
Don't worry about it.
Get a rested state, which is what I started to really regret later because you can't then like power level anything.
I remember just trying to werewolf and I didn't like it at all.
Yep, I got rid of it.
My weapons were perfectly fine.
Nonsense. Also, going werewolf outside of a town and then blitzkrieging that town and just murdering everybody, a lot of fun.
Being a werewolf was so worthless.
No,
you couldn't heal yourself except if you ate people and then they just kept...
That's why you eat everyone.
But they just keep murdering you. Like, you couldn't regenerate enough health.
This is why you have to blitzkrieg a town in the middle of night and just start murdering guards and then just leave the town and then come back as a person and just be like, whoa, what happened here?
Seems like a lot of murder going on. Just wipe this blood off.
I'm sorry. I smell terrible of wet dog right now.
Yeah.
How's that knee doing?
I got hit by a werewolf in the knee. Used to be an adventurer. let's see. John, you got Skylanders info on here?
Yeah.
This is weird.
It
comes from Game Informer, and they specifically found this in some Excel spreadsheet or something like that.
Yeah. So I guess potentially here next month, Frito-Lay is combining with Skylanders to start putting some Skylander characters inside of their big bulk packages of chips and stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
No, it's not.
I was really, when I first started reading this, I seriously was just like, I really hope this is about Cracker Jacks.
Well, it's sort of what it is. But there's no real details on what it is. So it's a promotion to dole out these four sidekick characters and bring light to the new Skylanders game. But what is a sidekick character? I don't know. Maybe a pet? Like, it could just be purely aesthetic and not actually do anything. the four characters are just like a really weird chibi version of Gilgrunt, Terrafin, Trigger Happy, and what might be Stealth Elf.
Okay.
There's no word on if it's real figures or if it's just a code to use on the weird Skylanders website-y thing that you can play games on.
Dude, you know so much more about this nonsense than I do.
And it's really awful because if you look in their like marketing information, it's like, we're trying to target the shopper mom. I'm like, ugh. Like the price-conscious mom buyer that wants to get their kids a little Skylanders
action. My kids
love
chips
too.
And Skylanders. I'll purchase this.
And it's cost-conscious.
Yep. These will fit.
Well, you know, people are just going to go in there and open the bags and dump it out and then just.
It's not a bag, though. Like, yeah, it wouldn't be. You buy a box of like 30 bags.
Yeah, you're buying like the jumbo box filled with all those like fun size bags, and somewhere in that nonsense is your figure.
Or is it? Like,
maybe.
Maybe you have to mail away for it.
Yeah, I
maybe
don't know.
You.
Send us 50 rip-off box tops.
Who even knows, man? Like, I feel like that's just going to go so weird.
Yeah.
But they explicitly also state it. They're like, this is a promotional item that can only be acquired through Freedom.
Collectors.
Yeah. Yep.
Go start buying ships, Grunt.
I only want a legendary Frito-Lay's Gilgrunt.
Frito-Grunt. He smells like Fritos.
Oh, God. They would all smell like Fritos. another big piece of news. Seth Killian left Capcom. Yep. Sent his little resignation letter in, which seems like it's just on the best of terms. No ill will and really thankful, and I don't know if you guys read it, but it's just really like genuine, heartfelt. But saying like it's time for me to move on to bigger things. But it's also really cool. Like I don't know why he would have any animosity towards Capcom, since they pretty much like created a job for him, like Grandmaster Liaison of fighting games.
Yep.
So I hope he'll find a spot somewhere that. That he can still actively be involved in the fighting game tournament scene and not just like community manager of Arxis or face of MLG.
MGL, that's my league, you know,
he's your face. Ah, you've been Seth Killian all along,
Nev. Have.
Let's see. Other Capcom news, Dragon's Dogma has sold a million copies worldwide.
Woo!
So now Capcom says, we're ready to bring this on to be a real franchise and make another game and continue to support Dragon's Dogma.
It's been out for a month?
Maybe 2 months?
It's all right.
At the most?
That's pretty good.
Month?
It's okay.
Surprising, though.
Yeah. Worldwide, I'm taking a stab in the dark here. I'm thinking that it did better in Japan than it did here.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it definitely has a Monster Hunter flavor, but I think it probably did pretty well in the States as well. Damn. I mean, there's good buzz about it. But you're probably right. I mean, it probably was stronger over there.
Yeah.
What else we got? Oh, yeah. What about that weird Xbox thing, John?
Oh, yeah. Well, like we said maybe a couple weeks ago, how the $99 Xbox program was only at Microsoft stores. Well, they are now finally expanding it out to certain GameStops and certain Best Buys, but not all across the country.
Right.
I feel like this is just a testing the waters kind of thing, see if people really want to bite.
Subsidized Xbox, I think it's a fine idea.
But this is the Xbox where you have to pay 2 years of service, $15
a month. Yeah, you are agreeing
yes.
to a two-year service
yes.
plan with a gold account.
Yes.
And paying $100 up front for your device.
Yeah. Which is not
terrible.
It's not a terrible idea.
I mean, a lot of people are painting this a lot worse than it actually is, where they're like, well, in the long run, you know, if you're only getting the Kinect and the Xbox and you have to pay for all that gold service.
Okay.
And you have to pay $99, like, you're paying $100 and some odd more than you normally would if you just bought it outright.
I would like to see the numbers of how many people actually spend monthly subscriptions for their Xbox Live as it is.
Right. This seems like just a very genius way to get Xbox Live into more houses.
Exactly. I just feel like people are already spending like monthly or pay, like, unlike where me and probably you, Griff, will.
Me?
Yes, you.
Me?
And possibly Matt. I don't know. Do you own an Xbox?
I do own an Xbox.
Do you pay for gold?
Currently, no, I do not.
Okay,
have a gold membership.
So here's the thing. Would you, as a consumer, rather spend the $8 a month every month to have your gold account, or would you just purchase it $60 a month or $60 a year outright?
Well, you'd purchase it just year outright, so you don't have to worry about it, and it's cheaper.
Right, absolutely.
It's but 14 though is what you mean, right, John? $14.99 a month versus the 60, which is going to be bringing it down to a smaller amount.
Right. But it's just, I know there are already kids out there that are going about it the wrong way of just spending. As somebody that worked in that retail department, knowing that there are a lot of people that just will buy that thing month to month.
Sure. Yeah.
Well,
they're already
doing
that
for a game. Like when Borderlands 2, when I play that, I'm just going to get a month's of subscription. I'm not going to get a year.
Right. I mean, the reason why you're trying to articulate, John, is saying...
Technically, they did away with the 1 month. They only have 3 months right now, so I don't
know.
When you buy in bulk in Xbox Live Gold account, you can spend $60 for a year, and that boils down to be, what is that? You say $8 a month?
About.
$60 a year is $5 a month.
$5 a month. Yeah. So, you're spending $5 a month opposed to spending $15 a month, which is three times the amount. So, right. I mean, even though you're getting it for almost $200 less over the course of 2 years, you're spending about $280 more.
We could do the math here and see which one makes Microsoft more money.
The subsidized one does.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's not that big of a deal. It's like $100 at the most.
Well, and even still,
it's like, that's kind of a cool idea for a payment plan for somebody who doesn't want to go out and spend all this money on a console right away. Like,
sure. It gets an Xbox into the home. It gets a Kinect into the home. It gets somebody into Xbox Live. Like, it works. It would generate a full-fledged user right there. Start increasing the amount of Xboxes in home that are actually hooked up to Xbox Live.
Yeah.
They just need to get it out to more, you know, retailers.
I think it's a fine idea. I have no beef with it.
Nor do I.
Yeah. And if that means that with the next console coming out, like, I don't have to spend $400 right up front for it to get a day one, hell yeah, I'll pay a subsidized version
where I pay
$150 more in the long run, but instead get to not pay quite as much right away.
Like if a PlayStation 4 and a Zevo were $100 up front and I had to $100 up front, but I have to sign a service agreement that says I will have your live service for 2 years and I have to shell out $15-$20 every month, sure, why not?
How many gigs would you want?
That's a good question.
Yeah, considering this is a four gig system, and me knowing how much I would use,
you can swap that drive out though.
Not for an Xbox. Yeah, technically you can, but you're also talking about swapping out for something that's going to cost you $100 extra on top of it.
Is it 100?
It's roundabout.
Really?
Yeah, because I think the only upgrade you can get for a drive size on that is a 120, and I think that's like $90.
But
I'm also sort of out of the loop.
It's not proprietary Xbox or Microsoft. It's just a laptop drive, just like it is for PlayStation.
That's incorrect.
No?
That is incorrect.
So you have to buy
unless
it
you
want to
use a USB stick to increase your drive space, which it supports up to a 32-gig USB stick.
You can't just put any laptop drive in there?
No. Huh. No. The old models, definitely no. The new models, they have their own proprietary like insert for it that you have to purchase.
Insert?
Yeah, you pop, sort of like the old Xboxes where you pop a side piece off.
Uh-huh.
It's like you pop off this vent grate and in there is a slot that the hard drive fits, but it is not like it is its own like enclosure SATA drive that inserts in there.
Huh.
It's not something you can go purchase regularly. You have to buy Microsoft branded thingamajig.
Really?
It probably comes pre-installed with Lego Star Wars,
which is overpriced probably.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It probably costs you $90. $90 to $100.
I didn't know. I mean, even though the laptop drive for the 360 that I installed was kind of pricey. I think I paid somewhere.
You did not install a laptop drive for your 360.
Oh, sorry, for my PS3. It's like $70 for 250 gigs, which is okay for a laptop drive, but
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I think I would rather have that ability to.
But like I said, you could also go out and get a a thumb drive, 4 gigs to 32 gigs, I think is what it allows. Might be 64, but I think that's pushing it.
I could do that.
Yeah, and you totally can. Yes, and I think like a 32 gig thumb drive might cost you, what, $40? $40, $50?
Yeah. Oh, it'd be very, very cheap.
Yeah, it'd be cheap.
So, although I've heard there's always issues with those things. Like,
yep.
If you unplug it and try and start a game, it'll sometimes cause like a hard freeze.
Yep, and you do actually have to format it for an Xbox. So if you plug it into something else, that's a bad idea.
Okay, so just dedicated thumb drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Also, did I tell you guys that I discovered that USB hubs totally work for Xboxes?
What is a USB hub?
I plug a USB hub into my Xbox and it gives me 4 USB ports. That's how I have my Kinect and my wireless adapter
connected
to my thing. I have 4 USB ports open on my,
that's good
360.
To know.
So it's kind of cool. This is, of course, only if you own the old original Xbox 360, because the new ones have 4 ports on them anyway.
Sure.
They
have more in the back.
5 ports,
so
like
you
3
can
ports in the
plug
back.
Your things that don't need to run out the front.
3 ports in the back, I think a Kinect port, and then there's 2 in the front.
Yeah.
That's right. So, tons of ports on that thing.
I thought there was a dedicated Kinect port that has some better functionality for it.
3 USB ports and a dedicated Kinect port that powers it as well. Yeah. So you don't have to do like me.
Run it to the wall.
And jerry-rig the thing in the back with a USB hub and power supply and this, that, and the other.
Let's see here, John. There's some more details about Project Cross Zone.
Yeah, they're gonna have at least 200 characters right now.
At least.
At least.
And remind everybody, what is Project X Zone or Project Cross Zone?
Project X Zone, Project Cross Zone, is a collaboration between Sega, Capcom, and Bandai Namco to create a sort of tactics-style fighting game, mostly fighting game.
Who knows, man?
Dude, that thing looks fun.
Gotta check this out.
Question mark.
It looks like Marvel vs.
Capcom. Lots of numbers
Capcom
going up
numbers
on that thing.
Falling
up, dude. It looks like Marvel vs. Capcom with numbers.
Plus
like,
Tekken Tag Tournament.
Like Marvel vs. Capcom 1, though. Not like 3.
Well, yeah, like 2D. 2D. With no real
like
attention.
High res
sprites.
Sprites.
But then also switching into crazy, like, weird rotating 3D with high model situation in certain combos.
Weird, like, also...
For the 3DS.
Like you said, the tag stuff that exists there. Tons of names, like Mega Man Zero. Or I'm sorry, it's probably X, isn't it? Mega Man X Zero.
Probably all of them.
All of the Mega Mans.
Some they showcased in the video were like Ryu and Ken, of course.
Yeah, Ryu, Ken.
They showed Dante. Dude from Tales.
Dude from Tales of Vesperia.
Or Tales of Vesperia.
Dante, also Chick from Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah, they had Akira from Virtua Fighter and that other girl from Virtua Fighter.
Uh-huh.
I forget what her name is because I don't play that game.
Chris and Jill.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jill was using like the 3DS... Revelations scanner as a weapon.
Was using the 3DS.
What a weird choice that was. There's just a lot of
no Sonic
in that game. That's for the best.
No Sonic and no.
I'm sure Sonic will be in there. Why would he not?
Do you think what's his name from Dead Rising?
Frank West.
Sure, Frank West. See a Frank West?
No.
No?
No.
Do we see something from Lost Planet?
No.
Mech.
That was already in...
That was in the Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, with 200 characters, why not?
Why not?
I mean,
anybody.
Why...
Sure. Anything. All of it.
No.
Matt says no. I don't want that many characters.
I need to see Miles.
That's way too.
I need to see Miles per hour.
Well, the point that I had heard brought up about this was they may not all be playable. Like some of them could just be in the background. Some
yeah,
of them
that was
could
the other
just
thing.
Just be like trophies or rewards or something like that.
It could totally turn into one of those Smash Brothers Melee or Smash Brothers
Brawl
like situations where there are a lot of
something.
Like Little Mac is technically in Smash Brothers Brawl, but. He's an assist character. He doesn't actually, like, he's not a playable thing, which is my answer to that is why
Great.
Not? Why
well, who cares?
I want to play Little Mac. if Little Mac is not a playable in the next Smash Brothers.
Little Mac's wide variety of moves, like sway to left, star right, punch, duck down, or star punch.
You could make him interesting in that game, though.
Johnny, you got something written down here about Rage DLC?
Yeah, there was
weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, because it's... Like, I haven't heard anything about Rage in the longest time, like a year now.
We're almost at 8 months away from that game coming out.
And so Rage DLC, basically there was an image that let loose that showed the Peggy, basically the Peggy listing.
The European ESRB?
Yes, the European ESRB about like what kind of content could be expected in this Rage DLC, and the Rage DLC is called, help me out here, Griff, I forgot what the heck that...
I don't know.
Played that game.
What about Rage?
Yeah, what about it?
Mega Textures?
No. The Rage...
Was it called A Real Ending?
Yes. Oh, here it is. Rage...
More Racing.
Oh, that's right, the Scorchers. Rage, the Scorchers. That's it.
Gross.
And it, like, there's not much on this other than like the fact that there has been known.
Scorchers sounds like it was. It'd be one of those like gangs from the Warriors.
Yeah. Their
gimmick was they're just on fire all the time.
There was some nonsense about a rumor that they're like the Scorchers was like one of the clans that they just didn't end up making content for. For the game, and now they're just using it as DLC content that they're going to put into, for this to come out.
Anyway.
So there's, yeah.
Hey, everybody, bust out your copy of Rage.
Yep. Hope you didn't lose that. So, yeah, that's a thing.
Get ready to wait another 45-minute install, because I'm sure you deleted everything.
Yep.
Far Cry 3 has been bumped back 3 months to December 4th now. Kind of weird, right?
Yeah, but not really.
Okay.
Is that really surprising to anybody?
Yeah, I mean, everything is moving back.
To me.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was everything was going smooth and it was just
seemed like
done.
That game was ready.
Yeah.
With all the stuff
was gold.
Dang.
And now it's...
Maybe they had...
Is that a holiday thing?
Maybe there was a fire in the building.
I mean, it's like, okay, so you've got 3 months now until launch. Now they've got 6 months until launch? Give or take a few days.
I don't know. Where are you at in your development process with 3 months left to go that you're just like, wait?
It was the multiplayer stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that's... I blame it on the multiplayer. The
fire doesn't look exactly right on this part of the game.
Or tigers.
The tigers were on too much fire.
Too much fire on the tigers.
Yeah.
These boobs don't look real enough.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yes. More jiggle physics.
Exactly.
Yep.
It looks to be more, it needs to look more sensual.
Calling in Team Ninja.
Yeah. Exactly.
Make them bigger.
No, bigger.
We need to get Tecmo on this.
What else we got here? John, something about Seaman, the Sega Dreamcast game.
The original creator, Seaman, had made a comment back in February about how he had thought about putting Seaman out for 3DS and then... Posted on a website, which I don't actually know which website, because the source that I was getting this thing was very vague. So this is all pure speculation. But was saying that it's time to get ready for the end of the year, or start thinking about the end of the year, and then also posted this picture of a Seaman, like the fish creatures from the Seaman game, that looked very Santa Claus-ish. So you could make a guess that means that possibly in December we could have Seaman for 3DS.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm guessing it would be more likely that you get it as like it's on Xbox Live Arcade now. Just like a ton of the other Sega games are getting ported to it.
Yeah, because I mean, if you have it, make it a Kinect game.
If you own a controller, you can already talk to your Seaman with the microphone that comes with it.
That's true too.
But
why wouldn't that just be a Kinect thing? Then I could feed my fish with my hand.
Yeah, you could do that too, but
I was
tired
of that.
I never played
Seaman,
for
it to not suck. So
yeah,
you played it?
Yeah, I played it.
I never played it.
I had it on Dreamcast. I played that.
Did you play Hey You Pikachu too?
No, I didn't.
Oh really?
Damn it!
Disappointing.
Wanted to. I really, if I'm gonna play Hey You Pikachu, I want to do it the right way with the Pikachu shaped N64. that okay. has the light up cheeks.
John, I'm going to table your weird question about Call of Duty continuity for another time.
Damn it.
Because we're going to move on to trivia.
Okay, I forgot about that. Are we running late?
We're at an hour and a half, so we're doing pretty good.
Okay.
I don't have a pen, so somebody else is going to have to use their device to keep track of score here. Since the 3DS was XL was announced this week, and Nintendo is infamous for being crazy, I decided to make all these questions about Nintendo peripherals.
Oh God!
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That sounds cool.
So I'll kind of give a little clue about what the peripheral is, and then you guys can buzz in and say what the name of the peripheral is. Okay?
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right, so the first one. Are you ready? You got the tally list?
Yes, it's generated. It's ready to go.
All right. So the first peripheral was designed based on the two-scale system used for sumo wrestlers. It is considered...
John, power pad?
No,
I'm wrong. Damn it.
It is considered its own character within the Nintendo universe.
Oh, crap. Can I guess again?
No.
I probably won't get it, though.
And the last clue I have here is it came bundled with Wii Fit.
Oh, okay. Well, the Wii Balance Board.
Yep.
Okay.
The Wii Balance Board. Okay, next one. This game, or this device, came out in November of 2007. It was bundled exclusively with a Zelda Slingshot minigame collection. And it is the second Nintendo peripheral to share this name.
It's the Wii Zapper.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, John, Wii Zapper.
Wii Zapper, nice.
I also dispute part of that.
What's up?
It's not a slingshot game, it's a crossbow game.
Okay, crossbow game, sorry. Zelda shooting. I didn't...
Completely different firearms, Griff. Come on.
Scratch that one off the list. Okay, next one. This peripheral was designed to allow two rooms to speak to each other over the power of the internet.
What? Crap.
You gonna buzz in, or are you gonna just stutter?
I'm thinking. John, WeChat?
No.
Damn it.
God.
This game came bundled, or not bundled with, but for... No, it was bundled with, and also available separately, but for use with Animal Crossing City.
Oh, crap, yeah. Now I know what it is.
But I don't know the name of it.
Son of a B, I know what it is now.
Crap.
Man, you just take a stab at it.
Wii Speaker.
Wii
Speak?
Yeah, Wii Speak. Wii
Speak, okay. Yeah.
Good enough, Wii Speak.
Son of a B.
All right. The next peripheral... this is actually not a Nintendo-designed peripheral, but it is licensed by Nintendo. It's by Grant Goddard and Sam Davis from the Abrams and Gentile Electronics, and it was showcased in the movie Wizard.
Matt.
Ah, crap.
Super Scope?
No.
Oh, John. Power Glove.
Power Glove.
Ah, Jane.
Okay. Doing well so far, guys. The next peripheral we have here... it plays the second player for two games. The first game was Stack Up, and the second game was Gyromite. This peripheral can be substituted in as the second player for those two games. It's made cameos in several Nintendo games, but has never been supported beyond its initial launch.
Why can I not think of this damn guy's name?
I got one more hint. He was a playable character in Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Yeah, that doesn't help me. Because I know who it is. I just cannot think of his name.
I give up.
John, Rob the Robot.
Rob, R-O-B. Good. Okay, this one is crazy. This is another non-Nintendo developed piece of peripheral software, hardware. It boasts zero touch using two sensors. It registers programmed hand movements that use or that can act as directional button and button presses. However, it also can be attached, or it can also have a special controller attached inside of it for greater accuracy. It's from Broderbund. That's a company that made it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you say all of that again?
It is a zero-touch device using two flat panel sensors in a sort of hinged notebook format. How it works is it reads pre-programmed hand movements. So you put your hands into the sensor areas and then doggy paddle to do certain things, to have that correspond with certain actions with the control pad. You can attach a controller to it for greater fidelity. It's my bay, Broderbund.
That's not right. It can't be right.
You guys take a guess?
Nah.
Are you going to try, Matt?
Nah.
Okay, John? Something?
I will just say, John, the Donkey Kong bongos? I don't
know. No, it is the U-Force.
U-Force? What?
U-Force. Never heard of this?
No.
No. Okay.
It looks like a game of Battleship, and you just move your hands in it, and it acts as a controller.
Oh, that's weird.
No touch gameplay.
Oh, weird.
Okay, the next one I have here is this peripheral was available in two colors, gray and orange. It blanks the screen for one frame. It paints hit boxes with rectangles, then matches those rectangles with the crosshairs of this device.
John, the Super Scope?
No.
Shoot.
No.
Damn it. No, that's not right.
It didn't come in those colors?
Yeah, that's not right at all. Now I'm...
I don't know, so you can just tell it.
You don't know?
I think I know what it is now.
Okay, what is it?
Don't say sniper scope.
No, there's no such thing.
Super
Scope?
No, what's that sniper game?
Silent Scope?
That, Silent Scope.
These are Nintendo peripherals.
What?
This is the NES Zapper.
Oh.
Available in orange and gray because they first
made
the
gray.
I thought you said green.
I thought you said green.
I was like, what?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, whatever.
It's those sniffles.
Yeah. Yeah, orange and gray because the gray looked too much like a gun.
I had an orange one.
Okay, next one. This Nintendo peripheral has two buttons. It has massive support, so it's available in a ton of games. And it comes with a pad.
I don't know about tons of games. John.
I've got one more clue.
Okay. I'll stand down.
It's bundled with Mario Paint.
Damn it. John, the mouse?
Super Nintendo mouse.
Yeah. I was going to say mouse.
Okay.
Supported by a ton of games? Really?
Tons of games.
Really?
Yeah, like bizarre ones you would never even think.
I would have just said that one game.
No. You read that. The reason why I didn't write them all down is because there's a billion games that support the...
Give me one.
Final Fantasy 3. I don't know. There's a lot. No, there's a ton. It's just way too many for me to actually write down. All right, the next peripheral... excuse me. Let's see here. It has three buttons. One is the cursor, one is the fire, and one is the turbo. It has a sight. It's been featured in a movie.
Matt, Super Scope.
Super Scope. And it's a bazooka-like shape.
I know it's in movies. Was it in Tank Girl?
It was in most notably the Mario Bros. Movie.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was in Tank Girl, too.
Probably. Movies.
Movies.
Okay. Next peripheral we have. It was available for the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, buddy. Oh, it could be a number of things.
It has. It is. It works with specific Nintendo cards that are encoded with codes on them.
Damn it.
I'll get it wrong. Get it wrong. E-reader?
Damn E-reader.
You, son of a bitch.
Yep.
Wasn't sure.
Okay. All right. The next one I've got here came out in... Well, it held the 1999 Guinness Book of World Records record for smallest... camera. Black and white pictures with four gradations.
Oh, God.
Smallest digital camera.
John, Game Boy Camera.
Game Boy Camera.
Oh.
I was like, I really thought they would have had a catchier name, but this is also Nintendo we're talking about.
Totally cheating.
It had that weird eyeball-looking thing that you swiveled around, and it came in multiple colors for the Game Boy Pocket.
It did, yeah. Okay, the next peripheral, this specific Nintendo peripheral used thermal paper, and it says hello if you press the feed button while turning the device on.
John, Game Boy Printer?
Game Boy Printer, yes. All right, and the last...
only way to get your Pokemon to print out.
Would you tie it with Pokemon?
Yeah, you could get...
I know you get Pokemon paper for it.
I swear to God, you can print out your Pokemon. Anyway.
Okay, the last Nintendo peripheral I have here was probably the most prolific Nintendo peripheral.
Oh, buddy.
It is designed to create an action and activate during specific moments of gameplay. This is a clip-in peripheral. And it was packaged with a Nintendo 64 game.
Matt, Rumble Pack?
Rumble Pack.
Damn.
Am I tied or you won?
That's all tied up.
Oh, God. I tied again.
I was, for a second, for a moment, I was thinking that it was the...
okay,
it was the expansion slot.
I've got a tiebreaker then, if you guys want to do that.
Oh, I like tied. I'm kind of loose.
All right, well, just one try. If neither of you can name this name, then that's okay. It'll just end as a tie. What was the full name of the NES multi-controller input?
I don't know that.
Don't know.
I don't know that.
It's a funny name.
Don't know. I'm sure it is. I've seen so many of them, too, and I don't know what it is.
Huh?
No.
Nintendo 4-way.
Oh, there you go.
That's great. God, I was really hoping you were going to, like, what's the pro pad that they had that had the joystick and it had, like, four buttons on it?
Oh, the...
That you could get?
For the Nintendo?
For NES.
Or for the Super Nintendo?
I think it was for the NES. The one I'm thinking of is for the NES.
I don't know the name of that one.
And I was also expecting you to do, like, Super Game Boy and Super Game Boy Advance.
Super I was expecting Game a Link Boy. Cable
at some Link point. Cable would have been good too.
Super Game Boy and Super Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, Super Game Boy was the
Super Nintendo clip in.
Yeah, you put it into the Super Nintendo and you put a Game Boy thing in, and then boom, your Game Boy games are on the screen.
Yeah.
And then they had one for the GameCube where you could put your Game Boy Advance games in there. Same thing. I'm going to keep doing that all night long.
I didn't do those because I didn't know how to describe them best.
That's fair.
Without, yeah.
That's fair.
Plus, there's a lot of confusion because there was a weird Super Game Boy 2 that came out that had a connector for another Game Boy.
What?
Yeah. I think that one was only Japan.
That's awesome.
There's other things like the Satellaview, like the LAN internet connection, or the modem that you would connect with your Super Famicom, and it could connect to like the internet and download games.
Are you aware that they had Ethernet connections that you could get for your GameCube? So that you could LAN up
oh, yeah, that's the thing on the bottom.
You could LAN up Mario Kart.
Oh, yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so fun, trivia like done.
Done. In the bag. Me next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. trivia next week, brought to you by me.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I checked the email and the website and the Facebook and all that stuff before I got started today, and there's nothing. So if you've listened this far, thank you so much. Send us a comment or write us in a question or anything like that. Otherwise, just keep listening. Thanks a lot. This has been Boss Barrel Radio. My name is Griffin Hoffman. You can find me on Twitter at Griff Hoffman. John Stanhope is JW Stanhope on Twitter. And Matt doesn't do that nonsense.
Nope.
We'll be back next week, and keep watching the website as the tournament goes on.
Yeah, get hot.
See you later.